Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chukma, all across the tundra. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. This is Grady Deaton, and we're listening right now to Coffee at KYUK. Joining me on the call this morning to host the show, Anna Rose MacArthur. Good morning, Anna Rose.
Good morning, Grady. Our guest today is Elise Galvin. Elise Galvin is running for Alaska's sole seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. She's an independent who won the Democratic primary and is challenging incumbent Republican Don Young. Elise Galvin, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here, Anna Rose. I'm so grateful that you have these shows so I have a chance to say hello to people and introduce myself. I know that many haven't met me yet. I've been in Bethel now in the region many times, but this race, because our plan was to come to Chiang Mai and then again in August, I haven't been able to make it, so I really appreciate this chance to visit with you.
Thanks for being on the call. Elise, this is the second time you've run against Representative Don Young, the most senior serving member of Congress. 2 years ago, you lost 53% to 64%. What's different this time around in the campaign?
Yeah, well, I think a lot is different. One is that I'm planning on building on that 47% of the vote that we received, and I recognize that sometimes it takes time to earn respect and to earn support. So I'm at this again to spend a little bit more time convincing Alaskans, first of all, that, oh my goodness, it's time for change. After 48 years, it turns out, unfortunately, the truth is Don Young no longer has any power in Washington. I'm very grateful for his many years there, but he's in what is called the minority, and he also has no ability to get any position of power in the very important committees. So with that in mind, I'm driven, I'm called, frankly, to take on this role again. And I'm very grateful for the many who have supported me. And now I'm here to share a little bit more about myself so that folks understand my grit, why I'm in this again. You know, I'm a third generation Alaskan and a proud mom of four. I've been so blessed with my children and their lives. And I look forward to making sure that the next generation has a good opportunity here. For me, as a young one, I grew up in a home that battled addiction and mental illness and abuse, and I broke that cycle. I'm proud to say I served Alaska under Republican and independent governors and led a nonpartisan grassroots movement of over 4,000 to restore education funding and improve our schools everywhere throughout the state.
And why did you choose to run again as an independent? Your opponent used the opportunity to accuse you of concealing liberal policies and just pretending to be independent. What's your answer to him?
Yeah, oh gosh, I get this question a lot. A lot of people, I think, unfortunately, the way the ads have come out, they're very misleading. I've been independent for more than 15 years. That's what I am. So to jump into something else would be very disingenuous. To me, honesty is the most important thing we can bring to government to restore more trust. And so I'm an independent. I'm grateful that the Democratic Party allowed me to run through the primary. As we know, it takes a lot of time, a lot of conversations with people to earn trust. And so I need to be in this much earlier as I'm allowed to do running through the Democratic primary. And I ran against two others it allowed me also to clear the slate so that it would just be Don Young and myself. And I firmly believe that Alaska is ready for an independent like me. We really don't care about a party flag. We want somebody in Washington to represent people and what we value. So that's what I plan to do, and I'm really grateful for the chance to clear the record there. And I'm really running to make sure that our families are able to take care of their own. It's as simple as that. What do we need to do that? Well, of course, first conquer coronavirus in a very reasonable way, and there could have been some very simple measures taken, and it would have been certainly a lot less damaging than where we are today. But also, I'm after we conquer coronavirus, I'm in this so that we can make sure we have good jobs, quality education, and that leads to those good jobs, and healthcare that we can navigate and afford. Those are the simple things that I think our communities need, along with a good sense of public safety.
And speaking of healthcare, do you support Medicare for All?
No. That's funny. I've been seeing that in ads. I have no idea, once again, where these are coming from. You notice that there's never any real photos or any real tape of that, because I've never said that. I think that actually it's unfortunate. Alaskans just need somebody who can focus on what Alaska needs, not a national far left-wing agenda that will not work here.
And you mentioned needing to conquer coronavirus in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You've been critical of what you call a lack of transparency in the Trump administration's COVID-19 response. If you were in Congress, what steps would you take to strengthen that response?
Thanks for that question. Yeah, so many people are upset because we've seen a lot of misinformation. We'll see one doctor at the White House saying one thing and then, unfortunately, our president saying another. And I think it's important to call it out and then have kind of a steady streamline of good information coming to Alaskans. I'm grateful for how our state leaders have incorporated local input and Alaskan experts in their decision making in regards to the pandemic. So, for example, Dr. Zink has been a wonderful chief medical officer. I think her leadership will be a standout when we look back at this time. We'll recognize that she was the one who really approached this in a nonpartisan way, speaking to all people, listening to experts, listening to elders who have survived previous pandemics, and really paying attention to the strengths that we have. We know how to be patient if we listen to the experts and do the, you know, very basic measures of you know what those are, just basically the mask, the social distance, and to wash our hands. And I
and
do
how
appreciate
can you apply those lessons to actually being in Congress?
Yeah. So in Congress, as a leader, first of all, I need to listen to what happens here in the state, what Dr. Zink says is needed here, make sure that there's a clear, steady supply stream to the caregivers here and to those who are making sure that they are doing the proper things. They need to have the PPEs here as well. So we need to make sure that we have our testing equipment, our testing supplies. And unfortunately, my opponent didn't even show up to vote for the first coronavirus bill, the CARES Act, and that's really critical because those were important ways that the federal government was supporting our local businesses and supporting our local caregivers, both to make sure that they are fighting the virus and shoring up our economy to not go into a complete and total collapse. Those are really important tenets of leadership.
It sounds like you're wanting to see a more robust economic response.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of economic response do you want to see from Congress?
Well, I think we need to make sure that we have all of the supplies here. That means supporting it financially, making sure on the federal level that we have tasked the businesses who have the wherewithal to change up what they're doing to provide the supplies that are needed. We could have early on ensured that we didn't hit this recession also early by giving the shots in the arm to the small businesses and making sure that they were fairly distributed. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Alaska had the least amount of support out of the PPP, and that was because, I don't think there was enough attention to the writing to make sure that there was fairness among all states. So per capita, we ended up with the least amount of support. Bottom line is we need leadership that's looking after Alaska getting its fair share. We need leadership to make sure that we're modeling good behavior. So to call it a beer virus and walk around shaking hands, not wearing a mask is probably not the best way to, show that kind of leadership. And so I look forward to not only being in the room where decisions are made, but also being able to use the good information that we have from scientists and really show that I am supportive of the scientists and encouraging good behavior among all of our communities.
And moving to one of your main platform issues is education, and it's one of your sharpest areas of disagreement between you and Representative Young. You want more federal resources for better public education, and he wants more state control. What do you want to advocate for on education in Washington that we don't already have?
Just to be clear, probably the representative and I agree about state control. That said, we also should have federal resources. So, in Alaska, we have the least amount of resources per capita for early learning in the entire nation. At the same time, we have roughly half of the readiness at 5 years old. So when kids walk into kindergarten, sadly, many of them are not ready to learn. They've had stresses at home, or they can't have the same ability to string together words, sentences, things like that, that we know, is not a reflection of a child not being competent. It's really more a matter of our not being able to support systems that could help our children be ready for learning. Every person in Alaska deserves a cradle-to-career education system that helps them realize their potential, seize the opportunity, and raise the next generation to, a great generation of Alaskans. And that takes a leader who's willing to call a spade a spade. And right now, Alaska needs more federal support, not just in the early learning and in K-12, but also with the two-thirds of Alaskans who graduate from high school and don't go on to college. They need to get a good career, and that means they need to have apprenticeships and vocational opportunities. I'm sure you're aware that Bethel has a great regional school there, and we need to have more opportunities like that. I've met with many Alaskans who are in the construction and building trades who are worried that there are not going to be enough qualified new workers to replace the workers who are retiring. And I know that we can build career pathways for every Alaskan child. And that's the sort of resources that I look forward to fighting for in Washington. And I believe that there is a good opportunity for us with a change in leadership there. I also look forward to further supporting retention of languages, particularly native languages, so that when folks show up at school, they feel pride, they're learning more of their native language, and the families are better connected to the education system.
And moving to mining, you oppose the Pebble Mine because of environmental and fisheries concerns. You've remained undecided on the Donlin Mine. What will it take to make up your mind about Donlin?
Well, I think that there's still more information yet to be had. As far as I understand, it may not even be economic. So that it may be a moot point from what I understand. It would be good to hear more from locals about where they stand. From what I've heard, everyone is looking forward to ensuring that there are more job opportunities. And I really feel strongly that we need to help with economic development wherever possible. However, I'm also hearing that there is concern about whether or not that mine, similar to Pebble, may be too close to the watershed that feeds into where subsistence fishing is happening. So I look forward to learning more about that. I believe that mining is a really good opportunity for jobs, and where we have seen it work well is Red Dog, for example. They have built an entire regional vocational training center, and more than 50% of the jobs at Red Dog are held by locals. It's really been shown to be an economic driver for that community, and grown much trust and between the corporation and the local community, which I think is critical. And Donlin, again, is a good source of jobs for the region, but it needs to minimize the impacts on the villages along the river. I understand that there was some concern about the barges coming in and it creating bringing fuel and creating too much erosion. Well, perhaps there's a way to fix that by changing up the machinery used in the mine to be using locally resourced energy. Or maybe it could be using natural gas. I think there's probably a lot of ways to work around, but I'm not sure. I have yet to learn about whether or not we have fully mitigated those risks and concerns. So I am, again, supportive of economic development and hopeful that the community can find a way to feel like this would be a good solution.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Elise Galvin, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Elise Galvin is an independent running on the Democratic ticket for Alaska's U.S. House seat. On Wednesday, join Coffee at KYUK for a conversation with Democratic incumbent Tiffany Zolkuski, who's running for the state District 38 seat to once again represent the YK Delta and the Alaska House. I hope you'll join us. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Grady, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Anna Rose. So much going on. National Election Day just 2 weeks away. This afternoon, All Things Considered from NPR News, they'll be answering your questions about voting during the pandemic. Listen and stay connected this afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KYUK. Hey, you know what else? Thursday's coming around quick. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden will share a debate stage for the second and final time. That's Thursday evening. Join us and NPR for live coverage at 5 p.m. on Thursday. It'll preempt the regular scheduled news. You'll catch that on 90.3 FM, The Mix, at its regular scheduled time. And then, of course, after the debates and the debate for the state, too. So stay tuned to NPR and KYUK, your source for news, information, community, and connection. And don't forget to make your show of support today by pledging at kyuk.org. Leaves me just one thing left to say, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other.